Good afternoon, folks. Here I am, Maurice Cerrone from A. Handy Manshaven, transmitting in the A. Handy Manshaven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. Some information about A. Handy Manshaven. We have two stores in southern Arizona. One is in the Green Valley location, and the main store with our warehouse is in Tucson. Actually, it's in downtown South Tucson. The address of the Tucson location is at 1724 South 6th Avenue. That places us six blocks south of 22nd Street on 6th Avenue going southbound, with a big yellow building on the west side of the street between 27th and 28th Streets. If you get to 29th Street, we're back over your right shoulder. 29th Street is located with a nice traffic signal from that standpoint. Parking spaces are on the south side as well as on the north side, and you're welcome in our location from Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. We do stop loading of cabinetry and items at 4 p.m. in order to get ready for the next day, close the store down for the evening. The phone number in Tucson is 520-624-7200. Again, the hours of operation are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. We do have a website that's valid for Green Valley as well as the Tucson metropolitan area. It's www, and when you spell it for a website, it looks like ahandymanshaven.com. Our Green Valley location is at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103 Alpha. If you're on I-19, which is a good way of getting there from southern Arizona, or if you just happen to be going down southbound, you can get off of the Duval Mine Road exits, immediately transfer to the left-hand lane as you come off of the freeway and get onto the east-west roads that are there. Pick up the frontage road and head south a little ways farther. There's two Duval Mine roads. You want to take the furthest one south where the curvature goes right into Duval Mine, and then you can pick up Calle de las Tiendas. For those of you listening in the Green Valley area, as I mentioned, we're on the north end of Green Valley. Many people have heard of and have partaked in the fine cuisine at Manuel's Mexican Food Restaurant. You walk out the front door, continue walking across the street, and you basically could walk right into our showroom. The hours of operation in Green Valley are from about 8:30 in the morning to 4 p.m. in the evening. The days are from Monday through Friday. The website is the same. The phone number in Green Valley is 520-369-4858. If for some reason Green Valley is very busy with things going on, the phones, when you call that phone number, will revert back to the Tucson store, and we'll answer up there and be able to answer all your questions for you. Some activities that we have available at A. Handy Manshaven. I'd like to talk a little bit about stainless steel sinks. As most of you know, or most of you have used stainless steel sinks in your life, the dimension of stainless steel sinks for the double bowl or even some of the single bowls or for the 70-30s or the 60-40s are always in outside dimensions. And this is true of cabinetry also. I go over these basic dimensional qualities of how things are displayed or annotated for the customers, and it does get to be a little bit confusing. Remember that cabinetry and countertops of that nature are always the outside dimensions, as well as sinks and other things in the kitchen area. So regardless of what the inside dimension is, we can do different things with that. So a stainless steel sink, that's a double bowl sink, as we call a 50-50, The outside dimension of the rim for a top mount, that's the one that slides in over the top of the countertop and is anchored by the countertop itself, is 33 inches wide, that's left or right, and 22 inches from front to back. That's the rim that actually sits on the countertop. However, the bowl is a little bit less than that. It's in the vicinity of 29 inches as a round number, and we can do different things with that. Most people think that the double bowl sink can only go into a 36-inch cabinetry because the common cabinetry that is used is a 36-inch cabinet that's from left to right. However, we were instructed many years ago that the bowl itself is what has to fit within the cabinet, and we can do that with various aspects and teach you how to accomplish that. So it can go into a 30-inch cabinet as well as a 33 and a 36. You may have noticed that the dimensions that I have just mentioned to you, you can always divide 3 into that dimension, and it comes out to be a whole integer or a whole number, as we would say. And that is how most things in a kitchen are developed, or cabinetry from that standpoint. Regardless of where you use your cabinetry, it's on a, generally they're constructed into a 3-inch increment. When you get involved with changing the dimensions of a cabinetry, then we classify the company as also having the capability of semi-custom or fully custom. And there are many cabinet makers in the metropolitan area here that will make the cabinets for you at any size that you want. And we also have cabinet companies that will do that as at A Handyman's Haven. We have one cabinet company that will make anything that's within 30 inches or 36 inches by 48 inches by 96 inches. And you take a look at that, and that's pretty much the size of the sheet goods, or what we call plywood or OSB strand board, or various other types of sheet goods that is available. So our 50-50 sinks, stainless steel, 20-gauge, deep bowls, are about 8 inches deep, are about $88. Along with that, we have a special drain attachment. As most people know, there is a drain attachment, whether it's one drain or two drains, depending upon the type of bowls that you have. Typically speaking, people use a the garbage disposal, that's what the name of it is. It's a garbage disposal where everybody tries to put everything in it, and lo and behold, we also find out that there's teaspoons in it on occasions, and there's knives in it, and there's forks. I've basically eliminated garbage disposal in my house because it was another appliance that I do not need to expense out anymore. But anyway, getting back to this drain attachment, the unique thing about this drain attachment, even though it may be an undermount sink that you have or a top mount sink that you have, the drain attachment can be attached to the sink before the countertop is ever installed. And that makes it pretty neat. So that sort of eliminates a hand and knee operation and a lot of caulking that has to take place when you install the standard drain attachment system. If you do not use a garbage disposal, you may require two of them if you have a double bowl sink arrangement. If you use a garbage disposal, then you only need one with that. If you use a single bowl sink with one drain, yes, you could put a garbage disposal on it if you want, but garbage disposals today are basically not required with a dishwasher. If you want a garbage disposal, that's your choice from that standpoint. However, every time you grind up food that you put in there, it'll develop some oils and grease, and lo and behold, you find that that sort of sticks itself to the piping arrangements that you have for your sewer drain lines and can end up getting clogged up. So the drain attachment is really pretty neat. It's $15, and it does not require any caulking because it has neoprene seals on the top as well as the bottom when you go ahead and hook it up. And again, you do not need to get on your hands and knees. So keep that in mind when you would like to have a very pristine and easy to install drain system. I'd like to talk a little bit about, I need to explain probably what is a 60-40 and a 70-30 sink. So I'm going to discuss that after our break. Our production engineer is none other than the famous Kent. We'll have him take it away, and we'll see you after the break, folks. We're on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. Well, welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I'm Maurice, transmitting in the A Handyman's Haven studio on frequency AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. If you'd like to enter into the conversation today, please give us a call at 520-790-2040. We'll be able to listen to you and your do-it-yourself projects or any questions that you may have. And for those of you that came into the store this past week or gave us some phone calls on some questions and our products that we handle, I thank you very much for that type of reference and discussing with you things that we can be of importance to you. It's always really good to know. The next thing I'd like to talk about is some countertops. We handle all countertops at A Handyman's Haven except for tile and stainless steel. We do have individuals that can accommodate the installation of those if the customer so desires. We do handle and we can produce laminate countertops at our store. We can provide those with what we call a fully formed or integrated backsplash. Side splashes are always an add-on from that standpoint. But our basic countertops, whether it's Wilsonart or Formica, the linear footage cost is $9 per linear foot. So for an 8-foot countertop, ready to install, except for a few minor points, would be $72. If you want a 10-foot countertop, it would be $90. And again, if we extrapolate that right up to a 12-foot countertop, there would be, in this case, $108. We do bring in what we call 12-footers. We do use those quite frequently, and we cut most of our countertops for the kitchens that we design and the customers are requiring in our shop itself with our 5-foot radial arm saw, as I call it. It's really a powerful piece of machinery and does excellent type of work. We can provide you with all your DIY stuff that you may need. We can cut complimentary for you, all straight cuts. The miter cut has a small upcharge. We can provide you end cap material, and you can do your own end capping. We can provide you side splashes, and you can pre-fit those to fit wherever you want, and you can be on your way. Our normally turnaround time is about 3 to 5 days on most countertops. We also have the capability of building countertops for you. And that way we can get rid of the 45-degree miter that goes in a corner, and we can accomplish that for about $20 a square foot. Still more economical than any natural stone countertop that you'd like to purchase. And the unique thing about a laminate countertop is that it provides you all the great aptitudes of a quartz countertop from that standpoint. Natural stone countertops, be it marble, soapstone, travertine, granite, or slate, all of them are porous, and that means it requires maintenance throughout the entire year, depending upon how often you use your countertop. The porosity of those countertops can also be impregnated with food particles or other types of foreign items that may be, and can develop, due to its porosity, mold and algae and bacteria forming on the bottom of the countertop, even though you may have all the protective devices that you would require or would like to have underneath your natural stone countertop. So the only other countertop that would be better than, if in the eyes of the beholder at least, better than the laminate countertop would be possibly your quartz countertop. Both of these countertops, the laminate type countertop as well as the quartz countertops, are hyperallergenic. They're non-porous, no staining. Water does not impregnate through the pores because there are none. Those are what we call engineered countertops. They're manufactured either in the United States or in foreign entities. And again, both of them have the same qualities and have the durability. The other thing that keeps coming up at the store, well, I cut on my countertop, how's that going to hold up? Or what if I put a hot pan on it? And every countertop has its downfalls when it comes to cutting on it and whether you're going to put a hot pan or pull something out of the oven, and you, all of a sudden you have to dump it onto a countertop. Remember, natural stone will scorch due to extensive heat, depending on how hot the item is. They will all scratch. And for those of you who have been out in the wilderness, so to speak, and have patronized places that have a lot of Indian artifacts, you'll find that the Indians years ago used rocks and other type of materials that they found in order to develop petroglyphs on the rock formations. So therefore, you know that rocks will develop scratches. And by cutting on it with your fine knife that you just had sharpened, you'll dull your knife and you'll create scratches. So we say, do not cut on any countertop. Do not put anything hot on any countertop. Use a trivet. Do not drag anything across a countertop. And with those qualities, you'll preserve your countertop for a long period of time. I know that we abide by that at my home. And the countertop, which is laminate, has been in existence since 1970. Maybe the color is a little outdated, and my wife would express that wholeheartedly. And one of these days, I'm like the cobbler, so to speak. My children do not have any shoes, but no, that's not the case. But anyway, that's sort of what things sort of think about. One of the other common things that come up, so today is more of a resource day from this standpoint, is should somebody purchase cabinetry that have their side panels or the carcass, as we call it, that could be the left and right side panels, the floor of the cabinet or the back wall of a cabinet, be out of plywood or be out of particle board? The particle board that is used in most cabinets are furniture-grade particle board, which is of a higher density, and with that being in mind, it has some very, very insulate or very, very profound characteristics. Your plywood cabinetry is always going to be more expensive, as much as 20-25% more than the particle board type countertop. So what are the advantages? The answer really depends on the situation, as we say, as a cabinet seller. We actually promote, to start off with, that the customer think of a particle board cabinetry. That's a furniture grade, which there are most of them, if not all of them, are made out of that, which is a high-density type of particle board. While many in the general public and in some kitchen and bath designers themselves think plywood is a better product. Well, there's a lot of factors involved with both items from that standpoint. As I said earlier, plywood tends to be more expensive, and that could be force you tremendously out of your budget. One of the things that becomes important is installers can actually make and install cabinetry or turn out better by allowing the installer more leeway in the cabinetry. Well, a lot of that could also be involved with particle board. Particle board is going to be truer to its form than plywood is. Plywood is going to warp. And if anybody doesn't believe plywood is going to warp, I just suggest you visit the home center, take a look at the 4x8 sheets that are laying there ready for the customer to pick up, and you may have to move a few of them around in order to get the ones that are towards the bottom because the weight will tend to keep it straight. Plywood does warp. Even though the plies themselves are at 90-degree angles to each other, especially the ones that are made very economically from that standpoint. So a lot of the other concerns that people have is that maybe plywood will end up being stronger to hold a heavy-type countertop, which would be your natural stone. Natural stone sometimes will weigh as much as anywhere between 12 to 15 pounds per square foot. But just remember, from a structural standpoint, the endpoints or the corners of a cabinetry is what really holds the countertop. So if you have a, I'll just give you some math on the air here. A 2x2 cabinetry, as an example, is 4 square feet. And you've got, and I'll take the higher end, which is 15 pounds per square foot. So 4 square feet, that would give you 60 pounds. And each corner, guess what, folks, is going to handle 15 pounds. I would venture to say, and I have it as a matter of fact, I stand on a corner of these cabinetry, being held up by many people, so I don't fall down. And being a 160-pound person, I can put 160 pounds on one corner. That's far going to exceed any type of natural stone countertop or quartz countertop that you'd be able to put on. So with being concerned with leveling and making them true for the installation, the particle board cabinetry will sustain a more truer form than the plywood would be. Remember, once the plywood is in shipped and starts becoming into the local weather, humidity and the dryness and everything else will cause the things to move. One of the other major benefits of plywood, as an example, is that they're lower in weight. That's because the density of the plywoods are not as dense as particle board. So therefore, particle board cabinetry becomes a very very heavy from that standpoint. I'll continue this discussion after the next break. We're on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk, and Kent is ready to go. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice, transmitting in the A Handyman's Haven Radio Studio on frequency AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. If you'd like to enter the conversation today and discuss some of the items we're talking about, please do. Or if you have any questions that you would like to have answered, we'll give it a whirl. The online way to call in today would be 520-790-2040. Always enjoy your calls from that standpoint. So I've been talking about in a previous segment, and I'll see if I can finish up with that prior to the end of this segment, is plywood or particle board the premier way of, or which one of these would be the premier way of purchasing cabinets? So we did talk a little bit about the weight structure and things of that nature on the cabinetry themselves. I do have to make one comment: the cabinetries are always set up with what we call a nailer or a screw board in the back. And we had one installer a while back. The customer showed us the pictures of it, that they installed it through the back panel. The back panel on this cabinetry that was purchased was an 1/8 inch backboard, which is all you really need, but that was what was holding the cabinetry in position up against the wall. So good cabinet installers know how to install cabinetry. And those are the type of people that we utilize for referring, or in the case of certain things like this, they install from whatever it happens to be. Some individuals like to purchase frameless cabinets. The cabinets I was speaking about earlier are what we call framed cabinets, face frame cabinets, or has a face on it. And those are the typical cabinets of years ago that were first produced in the United States of America. And when the Europeans got involved with cabinetry, they developed a frameless cabinet, or sometimes it's called faceless cabinet, or it's called a frameless cabinet, or even today they picked up the term a full access cabinet. One would think that if your side panel is the frame of the cabinetry, normally that could be 5/8 to 3/4 inch particle board, and I would say most cabinetry in most instances are made with 5/8 to 3/4 inch particle board. That's because it holds very straight and true to its form over plywood. So, but frameless cabinets are more difficult to install because they do not have the flexibility of being moved or twisted, so to speak, in order to get them all lined up appropriately. The frame cabinets have a quarter-inch relief on each side of the cabinet. That's the left and right side, which does give the installer a little bit of flexibility in trying to make sure everything gets lined up appropriately. One of the other things that is very popular in belief is that many people hold that plywood is more resistant than particle board to contact with water. And that is probably the farthest thing from the truth that you can ever imagine. When plywood gets wet or there's a heavy moisture around, it's, like I said, it's going to warp. It's going to delaminate because of the water-soluble glue that is used to glue them together. Glue that is used that is not water-soluble is more expensive, which can be used, but it's not. So, therefore, the kitchens normally form leaks, and it's amazing how many leaks we work with on a daily basis. I'm not going to say a monthly or a quarterly or a weekly. I'm saying a daily basis. Every day that we are open, somebody comes in and has a water leak in the bathroom or the kitchen or whatever may take place. And sure enough, the carcass of the cabinet is being destroyed due to the water, and that is very, very clear. Most people end up putting the cabinets in first and then installing a floor, whether the floor be of a laminate or a vinyl floor, luxury vinyl tiles or planking, or whatever type of floor they're putting down, cork, etc. So when you put your floor up against the cabinetry, you've now created a little bit of a lake, and the floor in itself is acting as a restriction for the cabinetry water that's soaking up there from that standpoint. With that being in mind, now your cabinets are sitting in standing water, and they will have a negative effect on the product over an equal amount of time. Remember, plywood will warp, delaminate, a particle board will extend, but it'll normally stay in track. I see we have a phone caller on the line. Ingrid, good afternoon, and welcome to the show.
Well, good afternoon. A couple of things, and I'd like to remind me to get back to the counters. With the floor, I've always been very, very careful with the use of water when cleaning the kitchen and bathroom floors and so forth. And I go so far as to when I get to the edges, I'll only use a moistened paper towel for those specific areas to avoid the very things that you're talking about, because it's easy to destroy a very fine texture. Now, with the countertops, you talked about laminate as being a very practical product. But if people have or really prefer stone or some other compound, how do the glues that hold the, you know, when you put molding at the top of the backsplash, I think that's what you call it. What's the best product to use for the individual compounds that a person might have, whether it's marble or a laminate or what? Do you use different kinds of molding products, or do you use the same thing?
No, the products, well, there's a couple of things that I believe that you're talking about. One is if you're using a laminate type countertop, you have the option of using the integrated, what we call the integrated or fully formed backsplashes. The side splashes, which would be on your left or right end pieces of your counters, are normally an add-on. So as far as the backsplash goes, the only joint that you're going to have to be concerned with would be the backsplash coming up against the back wall.
Right.
With
and
that,
that's a concern too.
Okay, you're breaking up a little bit. I don't know whether you're on phone or not. That's okay.
I am. Yeah,
okay.
I am. Sorry.
Okay, so what was your last comment, please?
Well, the backsplash where it joins with the wall is an issue, and the side panels where you have the two, we have the right angles of the same product up against each other.
Right. I would suggest that you use 100% silicone. Now, the manufacturers of this product, the caulking manufacturers, have done something that's rather interesting. You'll be able to look at the lower price tubes of caulking, and you'll see a siliconized acrylic. Well, the beauty about acrylic is, I'm being sort of facetious here, is that acrylic will have the tendency to dry out and crack in time. And therefore, you'll develop the little small cracks. And if you wash the top of any joint that you've done with siliconized acrylic, or just pure acrylic, which will be lower in cost when you buy the tube, you can develop a water leak. And so that can go up against the walls. And as the water goes in there, it's going to be inhibited and drying out. And consequently, you're going to develop mold and algae in that area. And that's true no matter where you have your mold or algae or you have a water source that's going to develop that. When it comes to the side splashes, which are setting, they need to be setting on the top or they're actually mounted on the side, they should be sealed, in my opinion, with 100% silicone. Again, you have to watch the label on the tubes and make sure that it says 100% silicone. It is going to be more expensive, but you'll have less headaches down the line. So I hope that that sort of answers your question. When it comes for a quartz countertops and when it comes for natural stone countertops, they use a totally different type of glue and caulking in order to ensure that the leakage is not going to occur when they join the stand-on, as we call it, backsplashes on a natural stone, or even with the quartz, it's a stand-on type splash. And those are would be sealed perfectly if you use 100% silicone. I hope that answers your question from that standpoint.
Thoroughly. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. You have a very pleasant weekend. I see we have another caller on the line. We have Lee. Welcome to the show. This is Maurice.
Hi, Maurice. I have a question. I'm sitting here looking at one of my favorite and for our dream place, this floor in this kitchen, and it looks like throughout the home, is rubber. Do you have any information on rubber flooring? Because that's what it looks like it's made out of.
I don't know of rubber flooring from that standpoint. That's number one. Would you happen to have something like linoleum or congoleum, or today they have other names for it, like luxury vinyl tile or luxury vinyl planks? Or how old is your home?
You know, we haven't moved to it yet. It's going to be our dream house, Maurice. And so I'm trying to pick out practical things that are easy to care for and long-lasting and affordable, but still looking nice. And so this floor looks like a, it looks like a shiny, it looks like, it will be some type of plastic. It sounds very strange, but it's on a floor. It looks like it has this, okay, here it is. It says chocolate rubber floors and Corian countertops.
And Corian countertops?
Yes, Maurice. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know whether they've placed rubber backing on the back of what I normally call a sheet goods. Are you able to see many seams on your flooring?
Okay, this floor, no, I don't see any seams. It looks like it goes endlessly from the kitchen to the living room. I don't see any seams at all.
Okay, that would be an indication, to me at least, that chances are you have what we call sheet goods flooring. It comes in a big roll, and as a result of that, that's laid down, and I can understand why you may have a rubber backing of flooring from that. In years past, we used to call it linoleum as one name. Another name that came out, and I did have this in my house at one time period, is called congoleum, which is sort of a brand name after that. And they may today have another name for their sheet goods, of which I don't know at the present time, where they do have a rubber backing placed on it, and that in itself will inhibit water from penetrating the sheet goods in order to go into the substrate of the floor or wherever the floor is mounted to. And that's probably glued down. That's normally the way that that has been placed in. That's rather interesting to a certain extent from that standpoint, because It is a very special technique. I've watched them lay these sheet goods, and I'll tell you, there's a lot of expertise that goes into setting up a flooring in a kitchen with all the little nooks and crannies that you may have in order to have it work.
Okay.
Now, when they talk about your countertop and they say it's Corian, that happens to be a countertop that's manufactured by the DuPont Company, which is the United States of American company. And they were the first one that came out with what's today genetic, genetically called, or it's called acrylic solid surface. So there are many, many manufacturers in the world today that the generic name, that's what I'm trying to say, that manufacture acrylic solid surface countertops. So,
do you like that type of countertop, Maurice? Is that a good one that'll last long, or do you like the Formica better?
Well, you have to take a look at cost and balance the cost that will, as you're willing to expend versus what type you want to put. I do know that acrylic solid surface and quartzes will probably be somewhat in the same price range. Corian, like I said, is a USA company. I really don't know where they manufacture their product. They used to manufacture it all in the United States, but I can't tell you at the present time.
Okay.
The international patents have expired years ago, and so there are many, many people that will install it, and you can also purchase it on the open market, which previously you could not do that. However, you may remember a discussion I had a little earlier. There's three things that you should remember about any countertop. Do not put anything hot on any countertop. Do not drag anything across the countertop. And do not cut on any countertop. And any time that you adhere to all three of those statements, your countertop will last a very, very long time.
Well, thank you for your expertise, and have a blessed rest of the day.
Very good. I appreciate your phone calls. We have a break coming up, Ken, is that correct? Folks, we'll see you after the break here for our last segment. We're transmitting on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I like that. If I was a carpenter. Well, I was a carpenter and slung a big, huge 32-ounce hammers with 16-penny nails and all sorts of things like that. Did a lot of block laying, brick laying, laid floors. Had a good time doing it. So right now we're talking about plywood or particle board for your cabinetry, or let's say for any project that you're interested in. Obviously, there are some benefits to using each item of that nature. And the advantage of what we call an engineered product, of which there are several terms that are used from that standpoint. Engineered products in the sheet goods wood industry would be plywoods, as an example. Typically speaking, the plywood layers are at 90 degrees to each other. That does supposedly give it some good, strong stability. There is a basic plywood, I'm going to call it. I don't know what other formal name it would have, but there's also a special plywood called Baltic plywood. All plywoods would come in various ratings of the number of plies. A lot of Baltic plywood, and that actually is so named because it comes from the Baltic regions of Europe, which is very, very strong and a premier type plywood. It normally basically is 5 to 7 plies. It may even come larger from that standpoint. The other types of plywoods available could be 3-ply, and this all varies on the thickness of the plywood, the 1/2 inch, 1/8 inch, so on and so forth. The more plies that you have associated with a plywood, the better the product will be. When it comes to particle board, the higher density of the particles in the particle board, it would be the better product. So some names that we use for engineered products of sheet goods would be plywoods, of course. OSB, you've heard of that. That stands for oriented strand board. There is low-density fiber board. There is medium-density fiber board, high-density fiber board. And you can shorten those down to the first letters, LDF, MDF, and HDF. Then there's a particle board as an example, which would be low density, medium density, high density, or furniture grade particle board. That all has to depend on how many pounds per square inch the particle board has been joined together. You'll also find that OSB and the density fiber boards, as well as the particle board, will be less prone to warpage from that standpoint. You'll also hear the term solid core. I want a solid wood product. Well, you have to remember that all the products that I've just mentioned today all comes from a tree. It all depends on what's left over when they manufacture certain things in certain locations, such as when they're manufacturing cabinetry or they're manufacturing furniture, etc. All the pieces that are left over because you only need certain length or certain sizes of pieces is thrown in a big hopper down the road and is used to produce certain types of sheet goods. One may say that sanding of wood and all those particles become particle board. The others will say that when you use planers and pull off these big strips, that's where the oriented strand board comes from. Then you got the high density fiber board is all this stuff that goes into like a gigantic blender, or possibly most of us blended foods with our blenders at home, and that's a fine mulch, and that's put together with very strong glues, and that's how we get what's considered the solid wood type products. So one of the terms to take a look at is when somebody says, well, that's a solid core item, the question should be, what is the core of this product? I know that most wood doors today, which are solid wood, but the interior core of the solid wood doors happen to be solid pieces of wood that are left over and formed specifically to form the stiles, which is the vertical portion of the door, or the rails or muttons, which are the horizontal portions of the door. And underneath the veneer, and the veneer can vary from a 16th of an inch up to, most of I've seen as an 1/8 of an inch, somewhere in that area, in order to form the good-looking surface that you're looking at, which makes it stain grade. And the main reason that this is accomplished on the wood doors, as an example, is to control bending, warpage, twisting, and etc. A customer who may want to receive a solid wood door that's made out of, say, a 2x4 or a 2x6 or whatever it may happen to be, is going to be subjected to a lot of warping, twisting, and bending. And when you pay $1,000, $2,000 for one of these wood doors that is very pristine and you're very happy to have, and you find out down the line that it's twisted and bent, you're not going to be very happy with that. So keep that in mind. When it comes to particle board or plywood for your cabinetry, the best way I can sum it up is, what is your budget and what is your contractor going to suggest to you? A contractor may suggest plywood, but are you willing to spend the extra money for the plywood? Or would you settle for particle board? Do you want a frameless cabinet or do you want a framed cabinet? That may be associated with the contractor more than you from that standpoint. But budgetary concerns and what your contractor is willing to install for you would be the main items that are going to be of concerning to you, the purchaser of the cabinetry and how it's manufactured. I'm going to maybe get in a couple tips at the present time. One is that when we go traveling around and you're picking up the clothes that you want to take with you and you want to keep them hanging, whether it's in your RV or whatever it may happen to be, you know, where are you going to get the bags to cover up your clothes that you have obtained and you want to travel with? Most of us know that when you take clothes to a laundry, whether it's they're dry cleaned or whether they're washed, you receive them back in a nice plastic bag. But yes, you could probably go down and talk to the place where you drop off your clothes and see if they'll sell you some bags. But the other thing, you may have some garbage bags around the house, but make sure you do empty all the garbage out of the garbage bags first, or use ones that are clean. But get to the bottom of the garbage bag, poke a little hole in it, that's so when you put the bag over the top of your clothes, where the hangers are, that the hanger comes out of the top. And then you can seal the bottom of the bag, and you can also seal the top of the bag that the clothes hanger comes out on. That'll give you a good way of protecting your clothes while you're traveling and still be able to use them throughout the period of time. Well, folks, we've come to the end of our program on this very excellent Sunday in the paradise of Southern Arizona. I appreciate you being with us. I appreciate the phone calls. We'll see you next week. We're transmitting on AM 1030 The Voice with your trusted local news and talk in the A. Handyman's Haven radio studio. So, Kent, take it away, and we'll see you next week, folks.